بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، سيدنا وإمامنا وقرة أعيننا النبي الأمين محمد صلى الله عليه في الأولين والآخرين، وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وأصحابه الغر الميامين رضي الله عنهم أجمعين، وعن السامعين الحاضرين وسائر المسلمين. Dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, we welcome you with a warm heart. We are all the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His house. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity. Inshallah, as we announced, this is the first lecture of a series of lectures about the stories of the prophets and the stories of the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this work from us and give us its full reward. And inshallah, when we meet him, Allah will make us happy with this good deed. Allahumma ameen. So the first thing we must start with is to renew our niyyah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innamal a'malu bin niyyat." Everything is according to the niyyah. And there is a story behind this hadith, this famous hadith, that a lady by the name Qais migrated from Mecca to Medina. So a man wanted to marry this lady, so he migrated after her. So the Prophet ﷺ was informed, so he spoke this hadith. Deeds will be according to intentions. The compensation, the reward, is according to the intention. So whosoever his migration was for Allah and the Messenger, then his migration is for Allah and the Messenger up high. And whosoever his migration was for dunya or a lady to marry with, then his migration is for that to which he migrated for. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to be called, according to the Salaf, describing the Sahaba, Tujjarun Nawaya. Tujjar mean business people of niyya. What does that mean? That the Sahaba used to internalize, bring to their consciousness multiple niyas, multiple intentions when they do one single good deed. So for example, we are here listening to this lecture. We can have, mashallah, so many niyyah. We can renew our niyyah for imaratul masjid, being in the masjid. Also talabul ilm, the intention for seeking knowledge. Also to join the Muslims in a gathering. Also da'wah. And we can make a long list. So inshallah, as you come here, think of as many niyas as you can. Put them in your heart and say, Ya Allah, give me the reward for all these. Because you and I going to act in the masjid accordingly, according to this long list of niyas, inshallah. And for that matter, I would like to remind you and myself with two famous hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many mashayikh said that these ahadith are authentic ahadith, sahih ahadith, hasan or sahih. Among them, Shaykh Albani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. The first hadith is about coming to Salatul Jama'ah under the chapter of Salah in Congregation. Imam Al-Mundhiri in his compilation At-Targhib wa Tarheeb narrated from the way of Abu Umama radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whosoever perfects his wudu at his home and comes to the masjid, to the house of Allah, and prays al-maktuba, obligatory salah, Allah will give him or her the compensation of the pilgrim in the state of ihram. So every time we pray Salatul Jama'ah in the masjid, Allah writes for us a pilgrimage like a pilgrim in the state of ihram. And the other hadith is about seeking knowledge. Under the chapter of seeking knowledge, Imam Mundhiri in his book At-Targhib and At-Tarheeb narrated from the way also of Sayyidina Abu Umama that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whosoever perfects his wudu at home and comes to the house of Allah with the only intention to teach something good or learn it, Allah will give them the reward of a full hajj. So alhamdulillah, by coming to Salatul Isha today, tonight, and attending this lecture, we have the reward of two hajj, alhamdulillah. So this was an introduction about the niyyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our all deeds purely done for His pleasure. We would like to start now by talking about the stories of Al-Anbiya. And every time the scholars talk about a term, they like to define it. Stories of Anbiya. In Arabic, Qasasul Anbiya. So this word qasas was mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. So we would like to define it. It's very important to define it. The word qasas, which is generally speaking, is translated into stories, is much deeper in Arabic than this word in English. It comes from the word qassa, qassa al-athar. Qassa al-athar means to follow the footsteps. You know, if somebody is walking and he leaves or she leaves footsteps and somebody is following that, that is qassa al-athar, from which the word qasas, stories, is derived in Arabic. What does that mean? Two main important points. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrated these stories, they are exactly step by step how the people walked and talked. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us these stories are not fabricated. They don't have the seasoning that people of movies like to do. No, they are exactly the way they occurred. And the second meaning of the word qasas, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to follow these steps and learn from these stories. So qasasu means to follow the footsteps. Al-anbiya, the word nabi comes from the verb nabba'a, yunabbi'u, nabu'a. Like amma yatasaalun anin naba'il azim. So the word nabi is a person who informs others about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he was selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do so. And before we start, we need to define and differentiate between nabi and rasul. Both are mentioned in the Quran. Nabi and rasul. What is the difference between Nabi and Rasul? A Rasul comes from the word Risala, which means a message, is a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected and elected, gave him the authority to speak on the behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah has given him a new sharia, a new law. Because with time, the ahwal of the people change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing to the Rasul new law. For that matter, the Nabi doesn't have a new law. He delivers the message to people, but following the law and the sharia of a previous Rasul. Let's give an example. Musa alayhi salam was a Rasul. After Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent who? We have Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. to mention few names. We have his son Sulaiman alayhi salam. These two were anbiya because they followed the law or the sharia of Musa alayhi salam. Also Zakariya alayhi salam, his son Yahya, all these were anbiya. But Isa alayhi salam, Allah says in the Quran, وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. He is talking to Bani Israel and he is telling them, I'm going to make lawful few things that were prohibited for you before. So Isa has a new sharia, therefore Isa is Rasul. And خَاتَمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ وَالْمُرْسَلِينَ, the last messenger is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the final sharia, the final law. So for that matter, every Nabi is not a Rasul, but every Rasul must be a Nabi. And this is the difference. We have different narrations of ahadith about the number of Anbiya and Mursaleen, the messengers. But the ulama of hadith tell us that these ahadith are not authentic. So we cannot say for sure how many Nabi and Rasul Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. The most famous hadith is hadith of Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the Anbiya and the Mursaleen. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, according to this narration, again it's not authentic, it's a da'if hadith, that we had 124,000 Nabi, among them 313 Rasul. This number matched two interesting things in Islam. The number of Sahaba was 124,000, and the number of Ahl Badr was 313. So this is the memory aid for you to remember. But again, this hadith is not authentic. We cannot rely on it. But we use it as such. Now let's go to the purpose of this series. Why are we studying the stories of Anbiya? What are we going to find? And to say the truth, we have multiple lessons. But tonight, I wanted to bring to you three main lessons mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, I am narrating these stories to you so you can have these lessons. Three main lessons that we learn from the stories of Anbiya. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. We tell you from the stories of the prophets to make your heart firm. So my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, nowadays the ummah is passing through so many ahwal. We have ahwal at the personal level. We have ahwal at the family level. We have ahwal at the community level. We have ahwal at the ummah level. So many ahwal. So to make our heart firm, through these ahwal, we must read and understand the stories of the prophets. And this is a great purpose that Allah Himself is revealing in the Quran. The second purpose of learning and teaching the stories of the prophets is that we take the lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لقد كان في قصصهم عبارة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in these stories there are lessons, ibra. And the word ibra in Arabic means that ta'bur min makan ila makan. Before you are in a mental and heart state, after you learn the story, you pass to another level. And here we must stop. You know, there is an Arabic saying that goes like this. The intelligent person is the one who learns the lesson from others. And the miserable who learns with himself. Meaning that some people want to fall into the mistake and don't want to learn from others. So the intelligent people, he sees the mistakes of others and don't fall in them. So in the stories of the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us the right thing, what to do, and the wrong thing, what not to do. So we want to be intelligent and follow these stories because we want to be happy and not have to pass through the bad experience to learn the lesson. And finally, the third lesson mentioned in the Quran, that these stories are uswa, qudwa, a guide for us to follow, example to follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُ مُقْتَدِهِ. Those are the people, the prophets whom Allah has guided. So follow their example. Let's take examples quickly. You know, many people want to be rich and have so many things, right? So, the wise saying goes like this, إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَكُونَ غَنِيًّا فَكُنْ سُلَيْمَانِيًّا. If you want to be rich, be like Sayyidina Sulaiman. So in the story of Sayyidina Sulaiman, we have a rich, a king, who is rich, has authority, yet he understands the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and applies it in his life. For the young brothers who are here, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is a great story to follow. We have in the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam all kinds of stories. So the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam is good to follow for a rich man, but not probably for a poor man in the sense of having authority and money. But in the example of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have all the ahwal. Our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he passed through all the ahwal. So in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you can follow him because he was poor and he was rich. He was single, he was married, he was a father, he was a grandfather, he was everything. Any ahwal you want to follow is found in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so this is the introduction. Now, I would like to go and start not with the story of Adam alayhi salam, but with a story of a professor of mathematics and logic who was an atheist. But through the story of Adam alayhi salam, he came to Islam. It is the story of Dr. Jeffrey Lang. Dr. Jeffrey Lang grew up as Catholic in the Catholic school. But his father was a very harsh man. Every single day, the father of Jeffrey Lang would come home drunk and he would beat the mother and the kids, Jeffrey and his brothers. So Jeffrey started praying, "Oh God, fix my father." But nothing happened. Years later, because of his suffering, he started to make dua and pray, "Oh God, take my father." Jeffrey Lang used to say, "When I used to make this dua, this prayer, God take my father, I used to feel so much pain. Because we are born with a natural inclination toward the love for our parents." Now this young man who is under the suffering is praying to God to take away his father. But nothing happened. So at the age of 15, Jeffrey Lang became an atheist. He finished his doctorate degree in mathematics and logic. At the age of 27, a friend of his gave him a copy of the translation of the Quran. And Jeffrey Lang started to read. He was moving to another state, so he has sent all his book in front. And the only book he was left with was the Quran. He didn't want to read it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew his ahwal and wanted him to read the book. So Jeffrey Lang said, I opened the book and I read Al-Fatiha. It caught my attention that Al-Fatiha says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us by the straight path. So I read it. I read the word Ameen. Then I started Surah Al-Baqarah. Now Surah Al-Baqarah starts Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى. Alif Lam Mim, this is the book. Matter of fact, it says that is the book which caught Jeffrey's attention. He says that, who's speaking? That, he should say this, not that. So now he is having the feeling that somebody is speaking to him and saying that book. It's like the voice is coming from far away. That book in your hand. That book which has no doubt guidance. He said, what? This book tricked me. He made me make a dua and a prayer in Surah Al-Fatiha. اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us. And now the book is telling me that your prayer was answered. This book is the answer to your prayer. This is huda, this is guidance. So he realized that the Quran is a book that we have to read carefully. He's saying, you know, this book, I have to read carefully. There are so many meanings inside this book. So subhanAllah, the story goes on until he reaches the first story of the Quran. And the first story in the Quran, in the second surah, is the story of Adam alayhi salam, the creation of Adam. Jeffrey Lang said, I grew up, my teenager was in the 70s, 60s, early 70s. It was the time when JFK was assassinated, when Martin Luther King was assassinated. It was the time for Vietnam War. So I grew up in a very negative environment, plus the ahwal from my father. So I realized that everybody is talking about a merciful God. So I asked myself, where is he? Why does he allow little children to suffer? Why are these ahwal going on? And that's why he became an atheist. So he's reading the first line in the story of Adam alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And your Lord said to the angels, I will put on earth a representative, a khalifa, a representative of mine. So Jeffrey Lang said, wait a minute, that's not how it goes. We are not here for some elected office. We are here, of course, according to the Christian point of view. We are here because Adam and Eve ate from the tree. True? That's what he was taught. That's what he was growing up with. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in the Quran, no. We are not here. Humans are not here because Adam and Eve ate from the tree. We are here because Allah created us for an elected important office, position, khalifa. So this is the first message, my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders. All of us have a mission to do. We are important. You know, each one of us has a different fingerprints. Even the twins. Isn't true, doctor? Even the twins have different thumbprints. Allah is telling us that every and each one is important. We are here for a mission. You know, if you ask the medical doctors, they tell us at the time when the humans are forming, at that time, without going into so many details, each one of us had about 200 million possible brothers and sisters. And only one, you, was the winner. Allah selected you and I from among 200 million possible brothers and sisters. So mashallah, congratulations, you are the winner. You won from among 200 million possible brothers and sisters at that time. Subhanallah. So we are here for a mission. All of us are important. Jeffrey Lang said, that's not true. This author of the Quran, of course he was not a Muslim, he didn't know who was the author, is mixing up things. He said, but let me go on. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا They said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ Would you put on it somebody who is going to shed blood and walk up with corruption? So Jeffrey Lang said, exactly, that has been my question for the past 27 years. Why create man? Why bring him on earth? Why give him this authority to shed blood and walk up with corruption? Of course, three verses later, he will realize his mistake. I know the story will take three classes from us, not one. So inshallah, I will finish soon for the first class. I said, why create man? And look who is asking. The angels in the highest place of the universe, they are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the wisdom of creating this creature. Then the angel said, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ We praise your holiness and glorify you. In other words, if you want to create him, Jeffrey Lang, these are the words of Jeffrey, he says, just make him like us, make him an angel, and just pop him into heaven. Just put him in heaven, you know. Make him like us and put him in heaven. Why give him authority? Why give him free will? Why put him on earth to feel so distant from you? These are the questions that were going in the head of Jeffrey Lang. Qala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know things about him that you do not know. Allah is the wise, al-hakim. So Jeffrey Lang, of course, he was not a Muslim at that time. He said, well, I am 27 years old and I have not figured it out yet. Could you tell me why? He said, you are acting, he's talking to the voice of the Quran. Again, he was not a Muslim. You are acting like modern parliaments. You are saying, I know exactly what I'm doing. So please tell me, because I am 27 years old, I have a doctor degree in mathematics and logic, and I have not figured it yet. Why create man? Why give him free will? So our ulama answered. Now the answer I'm giving now, and I'm going to finish inshallah with, after this first ayah in the story, comes from our ulama. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahmatullah alayhi, Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, al-Mufassirun like al-Tabari and Ibn Kathir and many scholars, just to mention few. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the angels. And the angels don't have free will, do they? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ They do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His orders, and surely they fulfill perfectly His orders. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to bring another creature, another creation, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give free will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I'm giving you free will, insan, and I want you to come to me by love. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given humans free will. Because He already has the angels. He wanted a being that goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala voluntarily by love. Now this insan, if he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by love, because he or she wants to, do you think that he is higher or lower than the angels? He is higher. That's why later Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you angels, bow down to him. So this insan has inclinations, temptations, desires, shahawat, wa nazaat. All these Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put into us. Yet, if we control all these and go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we love Him, certainly we are above the angels. And this is the message that every human being must understand. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us karama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us His preferred creation. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we have certainly honored the sons of Adam. So my dear respected brothers, young and elders, this free will is a great deal. Matter of fact, many of us are questioning, why are the ahwal that we see every day in life? It's because this life is designed upon one important fact. And that fact is that this life has free will. And that's how some human beings decide to do bad and do evil. And because of that, evil exists. Let me ask you a question. If I bring you a tray of apples, and I tell you, okay, you can choose apples or oranges. Did I give you a choice? No, the tray is just apples. So you only have one choice. So evil exists because in the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the ability to do good and to do evil because there must be a choice. The only place that does not have evil in it is Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, expect problems, expect ahwal, expect situations. But if you are patient, then you are going to grow. And this word is a very important word in the story of humanity. And because of this word, grow, Jeffrey Lang became a Muslim, as I will tell you inshallah in the second and third parts. But for today, I will end with one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ajaban li amri al-mu'min." Strange are the matters of the mu'min, the believer. Inna kulla amrihi lahu khair. All his matters are good for him. And the Prophet ﷺ made the comment, وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not true except for the mu'min, the believer. In other words, if a person is not a believer, he will not take this hadith and this fact from the Prophet as such. Why, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ says, إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءَ شَكَرْ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. When good things, pleasant things happen to him, he is grateful and that is better for him, good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءَ شَكَرْ صَبَرْ. And if calamity falls upon him, he is patient. So my dear respected brothers, young and elders, Ahwal will come. Problems will come. Situations will come. Everything will come. Ups and downs in this life are the nature of life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, expect them, because this is designed for your growth. What kind of growth? Our spiritual growth. When a baby that is in his mother's womb eats and drinks, he does so through the umbilical cord. If the baby tries to breathe through his nose inside his mother's womb, what would happen? Doctors, help us. He will die. When the baby is born, if he does not breathe through his nose, he will die. What is the lesson here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has equipped us with things that when we die, our spirit will experience. So we are here in a growth, a growing experience. In the belly, the baby eats from the nutrients of his mother. That's why doctors tell the mothers, pregnant mothers, to eat well. Because she is feeding the baby at the same time. In Ramadan, she is allowed to break the fasting because of the well-being of the baby. Now, if the baby is not nurtured well, he might be born deformed. Likewise, my dear respected brothers and sisters, young and elders, who does not feed himself with the vitamins of salah, the vitamins of dhikr, the vitamins of reading the Quran, the vitamins of salatul jama'ah, and all the vitamins that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the spirit, when that person dies, he will be born into the second life deformed. What's the proof? قال الله سبحانه وتعالى ومن أعرض عن ذكري فإن له معيشة ضنكا ونحشره يوم القيامة أعمى قال ربي لم حشرتني أعمى وقد كنت بصيرا قال كذلك أتتك آياتنا فنسيتها وكذلك اليوم تنسى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever turns away from my remembrance, for them shall be in this life a miserable life. And the last day of judgment, after death, he will be brought blind. He will ask, Ya Allah, why was I brought blind? I was seeing in dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer, because such came to you my ayat, my signs, but you have forgotten them, and likewise you will be forgotten. What does that mean? Anyone who does not nurture his spirit with the vitamins of ibadah, at the moment of death, he will be born into the second life deformed. He will not be able to enjoy the beautiful things of Jannah. He will not be able to enjoy what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for the believers. With this, inshallah, we end the first ayah in the story of humankind, the story of Adam alayhi salam, along with the story of Dr. Jeffrey Lang. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to continue, inshallah. And inshallah, next Wednesday, we will see how Jeffrey Lang realizes that his idea about bloodshed and walking up with corruption was incomplete. He will realize that he was blinded from an example that Allah put in front of him, but he could not see because of his ignorance. Jazakumullah khair, may Allah reward you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuhu. Subhanakallahu wa hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.